Welcome back to D10B College. Today we're building something proper, an Amen Science Edit, chopped vinyl texture modulated from scratch in Ableton Live 12. This is an intermediate sound design lesson for drum and bass, and the goal is not just to make an Amen break sound old, the goal is to make it move like a performance. We want that worn jungle plate feeling, but reshaped into something modern, controlled, and ready to sit inside a real D&B arrangement. Think of it as the line between drum editing, resampling, and texture design. If you get this right, the break feels alive, slightly unstable, and clearly edited, while still punching through a dense drop without stepping on the kick, sub, or main snare. A strong Amen edit matters because a raw chopped break can easily go one of two ways. It can feel stiff and looped, or it can turn into clutter that smears the low end and fights the bass line. But when you shape it well, it brings urgency, history, and motion. That's exactly why this technique works so well in jungle, rollers, dark halftime leaning D&B, and heavier atmospheric music. Let's start with the source. Drag a clean Amen break into an audio track. If you have a full break with some space around it, even better. Set the warp mode to something simple and transient friendly if you need it, but don't get distracted by stretch artifacts yet. The first job is to hear the groove and the identity of the source. Loop two bars and listen with your drums, not just in solo. If you already have a kick and sub playing, leave them on. That matters a lot, because something can sound exciting alone and still get in the way once the bass line arrives. You want to hear whether the break supports the pocket or crowds it. What to listen for here is simple. Does the snare still read clearly when the loop repeats? Are the ghost hits and hats adding motion, or just clutter? And does the source have enough transient edge to survive chopping? If the break is too clean or too flat, that's fine. We're going to reshape it. Now right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Use transient slicing so the kick, snare, ghost hits, and hats become individual pads in a drum rack. This is the fastest way to turn a fixed loop into something you can actually perform and rephrase. Once it's in the rack, identify the core pieces straight away. Main snare, main kick, ghost snare or tap, hat or ride fragments, and any off-grid noise hits that feel useful. Rename the important pads right now. That sounds small, but it saves time the moment you start layering, resampling, or hunting through the rack later. Why this works in D&B is pretty simple. Jungle and break-driven D&B live on microphrasing. The break is not just a loop. It's a set of accents you can reorder for tension, fills, and drop momentum. Now build a one-bar performance first. Don't write the full four-bar story yet. Focus on a believable core groove. Anchor the main snare on the backbeat. Place the kick so it supports the bass rather than masking it. Use one or two ghost hits for propulsion. Leave at least one small gap for breath. Keep the first pass conservative. In darker drum and bass, the groove often works best when it implies chaos without actually collapsing into it. A good starting shape is a main snare on beat 2, another strong accent or ghost hit leading into beat 4, a kick pickup near the end of the bar, and a few hat fragments between the snares. Now listen for forward pull. If the pattern sounds too square, move a ghost hit a little earlier by a 16th. If it feels rushed, pull one accent back and let the snare breathe. That tiny timing work is where the performance feel starts to appear. Next comes the vinyl feel, and I want to be clear about this. Don't fake it with a giant lo-fi blanket. The real movement comes from timing and variation. In the MIDI clip, nudge a few ghost notes slightly late or early. Just a little. We're talking tiny human drift, not sloppy timing. The goal is to make it feel like the break was cut by hand, not locked to a grid by a machine. Then add velocity variation. Keep the main snare strong and consistent. Push ghost hits lower. Let hat fragments alternate between medium and low velocity. If you want to push the illusion further, duplicate the drum rack and create two layers. One layer stays dry and punchy. The second layer becomes a filtered texture layer at a lower level. That second layer can take the dirt and smear, while the first layer keeps the transients alive. A very useful stock device chain here is drum rack into EQ8 into saturator on the texture layer. Roll off the low end somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz. Then add light saturator drive to roughen the top texture. Keep the punch layer cleaner. That separation is huge. It gives you age without losing the hit. Now we can shape the break with filter movement. Drop an auto filter after the break rack, or just on the texture layer, if you want more control. The point is to make it feel like a chopped sample being opened and closed over time. This is where the Amen Science identity really starts to show. For a darker underground movement, Use a low pass somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz, a little resonance, and slow automation opening slightly before key accents. If you want more nervous energy, use quicker band pass or low pass movement toward the end of the bar, especially around fill moments. What to listen for here is important. Does the filter movement enhance the phrase, or does it just sound like a generic sweep? And do the snare transients remain clear after filtering? If the snare starts losing attack, move the filter to the texture layer only, or open the cutoff more than you think. The snare is the authority. Protect it. From there, add controlled distortion. Saturator and drum bus are both great stock options, but keep them subtle. In DNB, the danger is not too little grit. The danger is flattening the transient and losing the snap that drives the groove. A practical starting point is a few dB of saturator drive, soft clip-on if the break is spiky, and modest crunch in drum bus if you want extra edge. Don't overdo the boom unless you are intentionally thickening a low break layer. If the CPU starts stacking up, commit this to audio. Resampling is often the right move. Print the break to a new audio track once the timing, filter movement, and distortion feel right. Why does that work so well in DNB? Because resampling turns a loop into a phrase with consequence. A printed break feels like a record being worked, and that suits jungle, rollers, and darker club edits far better than endless live tweaking. Now we get into the science part. Controlled modulation that moves without collapsing. Use tools like auto filter, beat repeat, and frequency shifter carefully on the resampled layer if you want more unstable character. The idea is not obvious effects. The idea is motion with discipline. A strong chain might be EQA to remove mud below roughly 120 to 180 Hz, then auto filter with slow movement, then a tiny bit of frequency shifter for metallic instability, and finally a light saturator for grit. If you use beat repeat, keep it musical. Short repeat windows can create a convincing chopped vinyl stutter before a drop or at the end of a four-bar section, but don't leave it running constantly. Use it like a phrase tool, not like a gimmick. Here's a good checkpoint. If the modulation feels exciting but the snare no longer lands emotionally, the effect is too dominant. If it feels static, you probably need a small change in filter cutoff or note spacing rather than more distortion. Subtlety wins here, always. Now write the four-bar phrase with arrangement in mind. Don't think like a loop maker. Think like a DNB arranger. Use the first two bars to establish the groove. Then let bars 3 and 4 evolve. Maybe bar 1 is the cleanest version with the strongest snare placement. Bar 2 adds a ghost hit or reversed fragment. Bar 3 opens the filter slightly and adds a pickup. Bar 4 becomes a fill, a stutter, or a short dropout before the next section. That gives you a phrase that actually functions in a track. It becomes a DJ-friendly and mix-friendly movement, not just a repeated loop. And if your bassline is busy, keep the break more selective. If the bassline is sparse, let the break carry more top-end motion. The right answer is always the one that gives both elements room to breathe. Now let's talk about width and low-end control, because this is where a lot of edits fall apart. Keep the core break centered. Any stereo movement should live mostly in the higher texture layer, not the transient core. Use utility to narrow the important drum layer if needed, and strip out unnecessary low end from the break. Below around 120 Hz, the break should contribute almost nothing unless it's a deliberate kick layer. That's a big one in club music. A wide break with low mid smear can make the drop feel smaller, even if it sounds huge in solo. But a focused, monosafe core leaves room for the sub and makes the whole record hit harder. What to listen for here is whether the snare still feels centered and punchy in mono. And does the texture widen the track without blurring the groove? If the answer is no, narrow it down and simplify. Once the core is solid, add one purposeful fill or switch up. Just one. A reverse slice, a one-beat stutter, or a short fill that resolves back into the main phrase. Put it at the end of bar 4, or at the end of an 8-bar section, or right before a drop. That single identity moment is often what makes the edit memorable. But here's the key. If the groove is stronger than the effects, stop. That's a real success point. You do not need to keep adding movement just because the DAW allows it. In DNB, overworked break edits lose their function fast. Once the phrase lands and the snare reads, commit it and move on. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't overchop every transient. If you do, the break turns into clicky debris and loses its amen identity. Keep the main snare and at least one kick anchor intact. Don't throw heavy distortion across the full break. That softens the transient and clogs the low mids, especially once bass comes in. Distort the texture layer instead. Don't make the edit too wide. It might feel exciting in solo, but it can collapse in mono and fight the bassline. Don't use filter automation like a generic EDM sweep. Think like a record being worked, not a riser heading into a festival drop. And don't ignore the bassline. Always check the break with the bass active. If the bass needs room, remove a ghost hit or move a pickup. That tiny decision can make the whole drop feel cleaner and harder. A couple of pro tips will help a lot here. Let the snare be the authority. In darker DNB, the break can be messy as long as the snare stays strong. Use a two-tier hierarchy. One layer for impact, one layer for atmosphere. Keep the impact layer centered and cleaner. Let the atmosphere layer be crushed, filtered, and slightly unstable.